Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. A little bit earlier than I had expected it to be, but there has been a lot of NFL news this week. I am joined by Jonders, the return of one of my favorite guests, and he has just informed me that he's giving himself the weekend off. What exactly does that mean, Jonders?
It means I'll be reading a lot of comic books. I'll be maybe playing some video games. I will not be working on either of my podcasts or anything else. I might not talk to other people also. I might just be in my own space for 48 hours.
Ooh, 48 hours. Sounds like a good time to be in your own space. So does your weekend of relaxation, does that start later tonight or like over the actual weekend?
It'll be the actual weekend. It might start on Friday. I haven't decided yet, but I will definitely, you know, this I was working like a dog during the season, and then I went straight into the IO podcast, and then it's like, man, it's just, you know, I need a break. You know, running 24/7 isn't working for old Jonders anymore.
I feel that. I kind of took a break from this. We haven't put out, well, that's a lie. I put out like an 11-minute podcast about the AAF like last weekend, but I've just been trying to recoup as well. But, you know, I figured I'd get into more regular shows like starting next week. But then all this NFL news happened this week and I was like, oh boy. Probably got to do a podcast because that's just a ton to cover like in a week from now when I'm sure there's like six more news stories that get piled on us. Because like, I don't know, I saw Adam Schefter's tweet where it was like, Monday Kyler Murray chose the NFL. Now, I wouldn't say that's a talking point that I would have wanted to discuss. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, Kareem Hunt gets signed. Monday, Kareem Hunt gets signed. Tuesday, Antonio Brown does his weird thing where he's like, goodbye, Steelers, but he's still on the Steelers. Ugh, kill me already. I am done with that storyline. I just, like, make a move or don't, or just drop off the face of the earth. And then, you know, my beloved Broncos decided to make a trade, which we'll get into later. So it's just been way more news than I think any of us would have anticipated, I guess.
It never stops, Eric. We're already into draft season and combine season, and then the new league year starts, what, March 13th or 11th or something? I mean, it's never going to stop.
Yeah, it's insane. I was looking ahead at, like, some of the league dates, trying to plan out podcasting, and I wanted to do, like, a combine preview, like, 2 weeks from now. And that's, like, right on the eve of a combine. Like, I thought the combine wasn't until, like, March, but it starts in, like, literally a week.
Yeah, and then I've kind of been putting my travel plans together to drive the 2.5 hours down to Indy, but I'll be doing that one day this week. So I have some emails to write to you I can get in touch with. Yeah, so it's never going to end, man. It's just, the NFL machine does not stop. And more power to you for covering the Alliance, man. I don't know if I can do it. I tried watching the first half of one game, and I don't know, man. Well, I'm not trying to denigrate them at all, but
you're absolutely right. It's not NFL football. And I don't know how long I'm going to last with the AAF. But you see, Jonders, I'm not sure if you're aware, the only reason I'm covering the AAF, and it's not the AAF as a whole, I'm more covering the Stallions because I actually have a semi-pro football team in my hometown.
Yeah, you got a hometown team finally.
So, I mean, that is literally the only reason I'm covering the AAF. If the Stallions ceased to exist, I'd stop paying attention to that league because I'm not sure how interesting it is. And, I mean, I just have a habit of picking disappointing sports teams because the Stallions also looked like complete and utter garbage in their first game. So not excited for what this season holds.
You know, we haven't talked about this since it happened, though, but I don't know if you're on my podcast or if I think I was on your podcast, and I floated Vic Fangio as a possible head coaching option, and you were not that thrilled as his prospects as a head coach, and then he lands on your Broncos.
Yep, very not thrilled. Very not thrilled by that move. By, you know, my opinion of John Elway, and we'll get into it later, is I don't know. I hope one day I get to meet John Elway, so I can just say all the terrible things I think about him to his face.
Dude, I get these creepy tweets sent to me. I don't know if you get these too, because it seems like he just sends them to a bunch of random people. But some guy was burnt by John Elway when one of John Elway's used car dealerships, and he sends these like to anybody he thinks is like in football media or like anybody who could pass. I don't even know. They're these creepy messages about how he hates John Elway. It's weird. Don't become that guy.
I want to meet that guy. Who is that guy?
Next time he tweets at me, because he does it once every few months, I'll tag you in it. I'll forward it to you.
Just forward all contact with that guy to me from here on out, and I'll be like, you're right, John Elway is an idiot. You're right. You're absolutely correct. I'm not going to argue with you there. I don't know. Maybe the move will end up good, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I wanted to talk about your IO show a little bit, because it finally got to I use an obscure podcast app to listen to my podcast. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called CastBox.
But I haven't heard of that. I've heard of Overcast. Never CastBox, though. Huh.
Yeah, CastBox. I highly recommend it. CastBox, get me sponsored. By the way, how's your quest for Zevia going?
Oh, it's over. They sent me an email saying that they weren't going to sponsor me, so I'm drinking one right now, but under protest.
Wait, so they actually sent you an email?
Yeah, they sent me an email saying they're not looking for new sponsors or anything like that right now, and they're glad I'm enjoying the product, blah, 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 Corbro speak. But yeah, they told me that they weren't going to sponsor me, and I was upset.
Well, now you just got to go on the exact opposite side. You just have to trash Zevia and be like, look at how much damage I'm doing to your product right
I'll
now.
I'll tell you what,
that'll get
honestly,
me back on your side.
I went on a little diet break over the last maybe 2 weeks. And I was drinking Mountain Dews and Pepsi, and then you go back to the Zevia. It is awful. When I first started drinking Zevia, it was after like only a month of drinking just water, and then the Zevia tastes good. But if you go from Pepsi and Mountain Dew to Zevia, it is garbage water. Take that, Zevia.
Yeah, garbage water. Hear that, Zevia? You don't want an angry Jonders against you. That could could change. Like, that could honestly sink their stock. Like, I will not try Zevia now.
That being said, if they wanted to pay me or send me some free product, I can absolutely change my tune pretty quickly.
And then if Jonders was like, Eric, I love Zevia now, I'd be like, okay, Jonders, I'm going to go buy some stock in Zevia. Let's roll. I'd
Come
put
on,
down some money.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the IO show, I binged it a little bit this weekend, and I'll be honest. What I mean by binge is I listen to like 20 minutes of every episode.
Okay. That's about as much as anybody can stomach, I assume. So that's good.
I mean, it's not a bad thing, but I was just like, I need to do a scouting report on this podcast. And I was like, okay, I have to get at least 20 minutes of each one of these in. And hey, you are pretty good. I had three things I wanted to ask you.
Shoot.
One, a lot of these people mention they are from Second City, and there's a lot of Second City talk on an IO podcast. How does it feel knowing that you're part of the second best comedy thing in Chicago?
I often tell my friends that I have a podcast produced by the second biggest comedy theater in the biggest comedy city in the world, which I feel great about, honestly. I don't think IO, because that's the whole idea behind Second City's name, is like it's a joke. You know, the Second City was, we're not New York, we're the second best city. It's kind of like when David Letterman used to have billboards that said number three in late night, when Jay Leno had a sign next to him that said number one in late night. You know, like we're comedians. Like, you know, it's not about, you know what I'm trying to say here? Like, I feel great about having a podcast that the owner at IO doesn't know about and that many people don't know about. I like being underground, and it's a good place to be. I'm very happy with where I'm at IO and in the city of Chicago comedy scene.
Second question, more of a comment. You're a very good interviewer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a fan of your interviews, like when you have people like Greg Rosenthal on or Mark Sessler. So coming from you, that's a mighty high compliment.
Finally, you seem to And this was genuinely interesting to me. And I want to start doing this just with general people that I know on social media. You seem to have a pretty good scouting report of your interviewees when before they come in. And that's credit to you. That makes a good interviewer, I think, is you do the prep work. You study the film. My question for you is, what's your scouting report on me?
You know, I don't know, because for you, I would listen to a couple of your episodes of the End Zone podcast before I would have you on, or I would go through your Twitter and see if there's any takes that were interesting to me. Mostly for these people, all I do is I go on like their about pages on, you know, because they have an about page on Second City and the Annoyance Theater here in Chicago and IO, obviously, so I'll read all that stuff. And then also for these people, I'll often go to one of their comedy shows before I interview them. But for you, I'll listen to the End Zone podcast, I'll read your Twitters, I'll read your Drama of It All blog posts, I'll do whatever I can to figure out what I need to know about Eric Jensen.
But what is the scouting report on me?
Twerp. Just a twerp.
Twerp.
No, you're, when I think about you, I it's somebody who I can respect the amount of work they're doing. Not everybody who does this puts in the amount of work that you do, and so it's a hard worker who's serious about getting better and learning more about the sport of football, and somebody who I don't always agree with, but I always respect.
Well, that's very nice. Would you like to hear my scouting report of you?
I feel like I was just being set up for a punchline here, but yeah, let's go. Let's get to the punchline.
Oh, all right. Well, not a punchline at all. Jonders watches more tape than me. That's the number one thing I think when I think Jonders. It's like, oh my god, I watch like maybe 5 Game Pass games a week. You watch all of them. Two, yep. Nerd. Of course, we've established this before. I stopped calling you a narc, but you are still a nerd. It's not up for debate. You enjoy things that I would consider nerd culture, and you are the biggest nerd I know. And three, and this is recently, you seem like you have this thing where you have become like a CrossFit chick, where you're like, guys, look at this juice cleanse I'm trying right now. Look at how in shape I am. And you just make me feel bad about my body.
Well, I don't want to make anybody feel bad about their body. I wasn't happy with where I was at, so I made a change, and I advise everybody, if they're not happy with where they're at, to, you know, work on it. You know, work through
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. That's good advice to have. The other thing I think of when I think of Jonders is I'm like, you have a little bit of mystery to you where I just know there's probably a side of Jonders that isn't happy and cheery all the time, and I do not want to be struck down by angry Jonders. So there's a healthy
angry
fear,
Jonders
I think.
Doesn't exist. No, because like I'll always remember when Tim Tebow's Broncos beat the Bears, and my older brother was upstairs pounding and swearing and like stomping on the floor. But that's not me. When my football team loses, I just get really sad. Angry Jonders does not exist.
I don't think that's true. I think somewhere deep down inside, there's a Hulk-like being that is not necessarily harmful, but that you would not want to be around, you know? But I don't think it comes out.
I never really get angry is when someone says something mean about my mother. I think that's the only time I've... So just don't, like, say anything about my family, and I think we'll be fine.
Well, Mrs. Jonders is a lovely woman. What?
Don't,
why
no,
would
my mom
say?
Is not Mrs. Jonders. That's not... That's... The hell, man.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, that would not work well. I don't even know your last name. Oh, McFarland. It's Irish. Mrs. Yeah. McFarland is a lovely woman.
That's not something I freely give out, so that's a little treat for your listeners right here. Last name.
Yikes. Yeah, and you know, I know Jonder's age as well, which is somewhere between 24 and 60. Today, I'm leaning towards like 42. That's where
I'm
going to
say. My birthday's coming up.
Say
I'll be aging soon. Yeah.
Aging soon. So it's like dog years for you, right? Like you add 10 hypothetical years for every 1 year. So soon you're going to be between the ages of 30 and 70.
That is right? not correct. No, I age about once every 4 years. So that's like the kind of the opposite of dog years.
Opposite of dog years.
Yeah, so instead of like 1 year being 7 years, it's like 4 years is 1 year.
Ooh. Yep. So somewhere between 20 and 64. All right.
Yeah,
well,
there you go.
Well, you know, I hope you're getting your senior discount. I really do.
AARP magazines don't stop, man.
Yeah, they don't. They get a lot of work done. But anyways, no, in all seriousness, go check out Jonder's IO pod. I enjoy it, and mainly because I like funny people, and I wish I could be funnier. So I listen to funny people, I guess.
And that was kind of the pitch of the podcast. Like, it's just another, you know, reason to get these funny people in front of a microphone or get these people in front of a, you know, an audience. So, like, there are a ton of funny people at IO who also perform at Second City, also perform at The Annoyance, also perform wherever in Chicago. And a lot of people from Chicago go on to greener pastures. Like, we had three writers come out last year to go to Saturday Night Live. If wow. you look at the halls, yeah, man. I mean, Cecily Strong, who's on Saturday Night Live right now, she came from there. Seth Meyers came from there. Chris Farley. I mean, the list goes on. Stephen Colbert's performed there. The list goes on and on and on. So it's really kind of a passing ground to, you know, the next level of your career is the IO.
Yeah. Jonder's hitting that next level.
Hopefully
with
so.
This guest spot. This cements that this podcast cements that you are on the next level.
God, I hope so.
Like, don't like when the paparazzi show up tomorrow and you're like, oh my God, what did I do? Just know that a mid-level podcaster in Salt Lake City, Utah has preemptively like shot you to fame.
Hey man, I'm here for it. I'll write you a thank you note and give you a fruit basket if that happens.
Ooh, fruit basket. Fruit basket. Who gives out fruit baskets anymore?
Jonders.
Apparently Jonders.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the fruit basket's like a dying breed. Why don't people give out fruit baskets
they
anymore?
Do like edible arrangements. That's a big one. Those are pretty much fruit baskets. Flowers, I feel, are still in vogue.
Flowers are still in vogue. Do you have a Valentine, Jonders?
My Nintendo Switch is my Valentine.
Oh,
you know what I do?
Every
Valentine's Day, I read this graphic novel called Spider-Man Blue. It's about the love story between Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. It's, I don't know, I think it's really beautiful. It's just something that I do for myself, I guess, every Valentine's Day because I'm never with a woman, you know, because they find me repugnant. So,
no.
It's just a little tradition.
This
that
got
I,
dark. This got to depressed Jonders very quickly. So,
yeah,
so
no,
let's
do you have a
turn
Valentine?
That around.
Do you have a Valentine there, Eric?
You know, I am my own Valentine. And
so
you know?
Your right hand.
Yeah. No, not necessarily. I would say that I look
your
in the mirror.
Hand.
No, I look in my, yeah, they call that the stranger, by the way. You look in the mirror every morning and you say, damn, you're handsome. And my ego is my Valentine. And I usually keep it in check, but Valentine's Day, I really let it fly. And I'm like, damn, you got a hot bod, you got nice hair, your glasses make you look older, and maybe that's a good
Eric,
thing.
Are you 21 yet? You 21 yet?
No, I am a young gun. I am 19 years old. I was thinking
You're
about 19? That today, though.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, I'm 19.
God, all right. Well, I'm upset at you now.
Why?
I don't know, man. Because you're so young.
I always... Bro, you not telling me your age just makes every situation so much harder. Like, I have always envisioned you as, like, 3 or 4 years older than me. Maybe.
Yeah, that's
but
good. Do that.
If you're older than me, if you're older than that, though, then God, like, what am I doing spending my life talking to old people?
I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know.
I mean,
you're wasting it. I don't know. You should find some other podcaster who can talk to you about Joe Flacco. You know?
It's a
good
shame.
Luck.
Yeah, good luck. Absolutely. Yeah, no one really wants to talk about Joe Flacco. I was thinking about that. Like, I go to community college, and I go to school with I think the median age for the community college student I go to is like 27.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like the youngest kid in most of my classes, and all I ever think about, like, sometimes I get caught in this rabbit hole where it's like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? And then I'm like, bro, you're 19 years old. Like, it's kind of a trip, Jonders, to think, oh my God, I have so long until I die, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe you don't have that long before you die, you know? You're guessing, you're assuming right now.
I guess. I mean, when do you think I'll die? Over under, I'm 19 right now, over under 50 years until I die.
Oh, under. Big under. Yeah, big under.
Big under?
I'd say like in the 2030s.
All right, so let's assume you're 33. Over under till you die.
I am not 33, by the way. You're overshooting it by quite a bit.
Okay. Should we just make this the Guest Jonders Age podcast?
No, until he gets... That's all I'm going to say.
Until he gets uncomfortably quiet.
I'm just going to say I'm much younger than 33 is the only thing I'm going to say.
So is that how I coax this out of you? Just make you feel really old and then eventually
crack under
pressure?
No, because it's over now. No, there's no pressure. It's over. I'm just saying I'm not 33. Definitely way younger than 33, and that's all I'm going to say.
All right. I mean, it's no fun not to, you know, well, Jonders, oh, that's what I should do. Are you on LinkedIn?
Maybe. Yeah, I think you can find an old profile. Really think, like, if you put any effort into this, I think you could have already found out my age, I think.
Yeah, I don't put much effort into anything, really. But it just seems like a lot of work to go to LinkedIn. I don't even have a LinkedIn account. Man, I should probably get on that, right?
I don't think so, man. I think it's over.
Yeah. Just give up.
I would. I mean, just in general.
Yeah. All right, guys. This is the last episode of the podcast. This is it. I'm hanging it up. We've had a good, like, 170 show run. I think it's time to hang up the podcast. Oh, by the way, at what point does it start becoming useless to figure out how many podcasts you've created? Because I feel like after 100, like, I just stopped caring. I stopped looking at the number that I produce.
Yeah, that's about when I gave up. I'm about 12 into the IO podcast. And then for Forward Past Thinking, let me look it up. I'm actually going to look it up. I'm somewhere, I think, in the...
I think you're like 170. Because you're not that far ahead of me.
Yeah, I'm at... Well, so if you count the old Climb the Pocket show, I'm at 203 episodes.
Yeah, that seems about right.
So if you count the old Climb the Pocket show, and I think the old Sound the Horn show that wasn't on my feed, now it is on my feed. It's at 203, and then I have the other one that's at like 13 or whatever. So, yeah, you know, about 220.
How is that going, by the way? I never really got a chance to talk with you about that. You obviously... Will that continue into next year? Kind of midway through the season, you team back up with Climb the Pocket and started doing kind of an interesting fantasy show for them. Is that going to continue on into next year?
Yeah, and Bootleg Fantasy, Ryan McGinley, who's one of the main guys there, I've talked to him, and I think me and him are going to take over all the quarterback stuff, which I feel like is the best way I can contribute to that website. So me and him will still be doing the Sunday night podcast, and then we'll also be doing quarterback stuff for Climb the Pocket. That's my future with Climb the Pocket right now. That might change, but that's what it is right now.
How much draft study do you do? Because I'm going to ruin my credibility right now and say I do literally zero draft study. I read like a few mock drafts and like what the analysts say, and then I leave it at that. I'm not big in on watching college football tape.
Yeah, I don't watch any tape or anything, and basically the only things I do is I listen to Move the Sticks, that podcast on the NFL.com.
I started doing that last night.
Yeah, and I don't listen to Move the Sticks.
I don't listen to their don't listen to their regular season show. I don't think they have enough personality.
You know, I'm not saying anything bad towards them. I'm just saying that I listen to a lot of podcasts during the regular season, so I don't listen to them during the regular season, but I do listen to them during draft season. I watch a lot of NFL Network. Mike Mayock used to be a mainstay for me to find out more about these kids. So it's more... you know, and then I watched the combine, even made it to the combine last year to watch Saquon Barkley run. But it's not so much grinding tape on the college students, more about finding people in the media who I trust and leaning on what they have to report on.
Alrighty, so it's time to get into my lovely mother just brought me a box of chocolates just to look behind the scenes, and she said happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, Johnners, that's sweet. You do have a Valentine.
Please give me an awe.
You do have a Valentine. That's sweet.
Yeah, so we got a lovely box of chocolates that I'll dig into after this. Where was I? Joe Flacco. I'm going to put you on the spot and say I have much more to say about this than I think you have told me you do. So go ahead and ask me what I think about Joe Flacco.
Hey, Eric, what do you think about Joe Flacco?
All right. Well, let me tell you something, Johnders. This Denver Broncos team is becoming increasingly harder to root for. Like, I am legitimately considering abandoning the franchise because, oh my God, did we just trade for Joe Flacco? Like, Johnders, how much, like, what is the difference between Case Keenum and Joe Flacco? Like, I see zero difference.
I have a tweet pulled up here from Ben Baldwin from The Atlantic, and he has the
Pro Football. Athletic.
The Athletic, right? What did I say?
Atlantic.
Whatever it is, I don't care. Anyways, Ben Baldwin's a great guy. And he has the career stats from 2015 to 2008. So 2015 to 2018 games. Case Keenum has 47 to Joe Flacco's 51. Their record, Joe Flacco's 24 and 27. Case Keenum's 24 and 20. Their completion percentage is Joe Flacco's 63.9. Case Keenum's is 63.5. Their passer rating, Joe Flacco's in 82.7. Case Keenum's in 86.1. Yards per attempt, Joe Flacco's at 6.3. Case Keenum's is 6.9. So, I don't know, man. You know? Like, they're more or less the same player. Stats-wise, I don't know. Because, look, I really liked, and something I talked about earlier last year, before the wheels kind of fell out that offense, Bolden and Willie Snead, I really liked what they were doing with their wide receivers in Baltimore, and I don't think that situation's better really in Denver.
In Denver,
yeah, because I don't know, man. Like, because toward the end of the year they were playing Sutton and Tim Patrick and Hamilton. Like, what? Like, I don't know, man. They don't have they lost I can't think of his name.
Demaryius Thomas.
Thomas and Sanders. We don't know if he's going to come back 100% next year. So, who is Joe Flacco going to be throwing to?
Yeah, that's a big question, and I don't know. Is the honest answer, and it doesn't make a ton of sense either because, like, I've seen all these conflicting reports that they're going to restructure him. From the money side of things, it makes absolutely zero sense because you are basically just paying twice as much as you're currently paying for Case Keenum when... And the other thing that pissed me off, too, was I heard they were in the running for Nick Foles. And, like, why would you choose to trade for Joe Flacco over Nick Foles? Like,
well, Mike Garofalo,
I would much rather have.
Yeah, Garofalo reported that was never going to happen. So
was that debunked?
That's what Garofalo reported. So I don't know if you believe him or not. Whatever, he said that was never going to happen. I think the bigger takeaway here is that John Elway has proven to be a Madden video game GM. He makes the kind of moves that I would make if I was the GM of a, you know, video game franchise. It's kind of bigger names over substance, and I don't know, man. Like, I never built my team through a draft in Madden, but I'm not a real NFL GM, and I think to be a real NFL GM, you need to build through the draft.
Yeah, and then it's crazy. I see all these NFL, you know, quote-unquote analyst, draft Nick type of people, random people on Twitter with opinions about the draft, saying, oh, the Broncos are going to draft a quarterback. Like, no. Why does it make any sense that the Broncos would draft a quarterback? Why would you bring in three quarterbacks? Like, that makes no sense to me.
Well, who's the other quarterback? Because they're not going to keep Case Keenum.
I don't know. I think they could, because who is...
They're not going to pay their quarterbacks $40 million.
Well, then that's a worse move, because you're not going to get any trade value for Case Keenum.
I don't know if you'll get trade value, but you might get a compensatory pick. I don't know what that situation's like. Or you just might get like something like a third from the Giants if they're trying to move on from Eli, and the Case Keenum-Pat Sherman connection is something that's intriguing, at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes more sense for the Giants to draft the quarterback, though. I don't know. I just, at 10, I don't see the point of the Broncos drafting a quarterback at this point. Like, at this point, I think maybe John Elway's thinking long-term, because I think he's unfireable in Denver for some reason. And unfortunately, I think it's because Pat Bolden is, like, dying. But I don't think they can do a ton because the ownership situation's in flux. So they can't really fire him. So I don't know. Is it potentially a smart move? Because maybe they're just thinking, you know, we settle with Joe Flacco this year, we get a top pick, and we go for the more quarterback-rich draft, which is apparently next draft.
But you can do that with Case Keenum. You don't need Joe Flacco to flop in the NFL. I mean, you did just fine doing that with Case Keenum last year. I don't know why you have to pay all this extra money to get Joe Flacco. And in what state is Joe Flacco's career in now if we are talking about him being traded and dumped? That's like what happened to Osweiler with the Browns, remember?
Yeah, yeah. I mean... A fourth isn't a second, I will say that, and I'm not super pissed with the value they gave up, because who knows if a fourth round pick plays out or not, but well, I just the personnel move makes zero sense.
You know, John Elway reminds me a lot of Ryan Grigson, the old Colts GM. It's kind of like the only picks that he makes that are really well and turn out good, kind of like Chubb last year, are kind of no-brain picks. Like, so Andrew Luck works out for the Colts. He's a no-brainer. But who can you look at that John Elway's drafted that was either that was like a smart, cunning pick that wasn't an obvious choice? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I mean, picking up Philip Lindsay would be the only thing I could point to.
But he didn't even really pick Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay had his pick of the litter because he wasn't drafted. He wanted to play for the Broncos because it was his hometown team.
Yeah, that's true. But I still give Elway some credit for picking him up.
Okay, off, I mean, if we should give him credit for drafting him. I don't know how much credit we should give someone for signing an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. Cortland Sutton, I would say, is good. I what I saw from Cortland Sutton last year, I liked. Like, he's not a top 10 wide receiver, obviously. He's not top 15. He's still developing, but I think next year he's going to be very good.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, you're closer to the team than I am, so.
I don't know. He put up decent things on tape, but he wasn't the most consistent. That was a problem. Last year, I just don't know. This Joe Flacco move just makes me, I don't know. I've had a tenuous...
You know what also happens in the NFL a lot? Is like, Joe Flacco has that game in 2012 in Denver where Jacoby Jones catches that ball. You know, I don't know who the cornerback is. I forget.
Raheem Moore, the safety trips. That was one of the games of football talking about taking losses badly. That is one of two games of football I have cried after the Broncos lost.
So, but yeah, but I feel like sometimes when you beat a team like that, you kind of become etched into, like, just like that moment's certainly etched into your memory for bad reasons. It also gets etched into Broncos lore, and then Joe Flacco becomes more of a godlike figure than he really is. You know what I'm trying to say here? Like, I feel like teams go after players that beat them more often than, you know, so they put more emphasis on a player like Joe Flacco because they've seen it in person. They've seen what it's done against their team. You know what I mean?
Huh. That's a really good point. I'd actually like to see more research on that. Could you think of any other examples?
Yeah. If I was given more time, probably.
Right. Yeah. What? Chad think about that.
Going to the
and
Dolphins,
let's
Ty Law going into the Jets.
Yeah. Let's try to tweet out a list of like three each later tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
But that is a really good point. Teams that have these players do great things against them are more likely to kind of go out and seek them out and sign them. I mean, that actually makes a ton of sense from a psychology side of things. I hated the move just overall. That is how I feel about Joe Flacco. I don't know. Like, what's the positive here? Like, is there a chance he improves at all?
I think at this point, Joe Flacco is what he is. I mean, he came in the same draft class as Matt Ryan, and I think we know who Matt Ryan is at this point. If you surround him with talent, he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. If you don't surround him around talent, he's going to be a good quarterback. I think I don't know. Joe Flacco has always been very hard to grasp in my mind because he can turn it on, and when he turns it on, he is a guy that he's kind of the only player that Patriots fans fear. You know, when Joe Flacco has this stuff, he's kind of this one guy who could take down the Patriots dynasty. But when he isn't on, because it's easy to say like he has a motivation problem, but I don't think that's what it is. I just, because there are players like Mark Sanchez, when the pressure's on, they wilt, they fold over. And maybe Joe Flacco is just kind of the opposite guy, where he kind of needs that added pressure to kind of turn on. I don't know. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I heard a theory with Nick Foles kind of like that I kind of enjoy, if you want to hear it. I heard this theory that, like, the reason Nick Foles is so good and when he is the best is when he knows no one is behind him. Because when Carson Wentz has gone out injured, his numbers are insane. But to start the year this year, when he knew Wentz was behind him and getting ready to take his job, he struggled. That's why I think, and I honestly, that's why I think Nick Foles is going to end up being a good starter. I kind of buy into that theory. That's my theory. That's close to your Joe Flacco theory.
That's also my theory about, I don't know if I've revealed this on my podcast yet or even tweeted this out, but it's something I've been thinking about. The Patriots dynasty, they start off as kind of the underdog, and then they're overwhelming favorites against the Giants, lose, overwhelming favorites against the Giants again, lose. It's kind of a toss-up between them and the Seahawks, and then, but the point is, then they're overwhelming favorites against the Eagles again, then they lose, and then people think that they can lose against the Rams, and they win. So I kind of feel like, I feel like that's a common thing in sports where when people are doubting you, that's when you have your best games, your best moments is when people are doubting you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has a lot to say about the human spirit. Wow, that got deep. It got deep quick, Jonders. I think that's a good way to end this. Like, I don't really want to bring myself down by talking about the Kareem Hunt news, because that just makes
me
disappointed.
Hey, the only thing I have on Kareem Hunt is it's the two-faced line from the Batman movies, you know? If you don't die the hero, you watch yourself become the villain or whatever the line is. That's how I feel about the Browns now, because they were so fun to root for.
There's an asterisk above them now. Like, it's weird. Like, I was really in on the Browns. I was legitimately considering being like, am I a Browns fan now? And I was like, nope, not after this. So, you know, who knows? I'm still hoping the Browns do well, but, you know, not a great PR look to go out and sign Kareem Hunt, like, as soon as you possibly could.
Because he's going to get at least 6 games, and who knows, he might get more. There's nothing saying he won't get more. The video is damning, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. All right, Jonders. Well, thank you very much for joining me, buddy. This was a ton of fun.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah,
this was a ton of fun. I always enjoy talking to Jonders. It's a good time. It's educational. And he makes me laugh because he's a funny guy. And you should check out his IO podcast. I know I normally plug the Jonders FPT podcast, and I get that. But I think this time, I just want you to plug your IO podcast. Where can people find that? Because I think that's equally funny to, I would say even more funny than the work you do with the football stuff.
Yeah, so you go to podcast.ioimprov.com, or you go to Apple Podcasts and search for IOU and Interview. All right, or you can go to and then if you want to follow them on Twitter, it's IO Chicago. Keep up to date with all the comedy stuff in Chicago.
Ooh, comedy stuff in Chicago. I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about doing a directionless summer soon, Jonders, where I try to travel across the nation and just crash on people I know on Twitter's couches. If I ever roll through Chicago, can I stay on your couch, putting you on the spot here?
Definitely, but be careful.
Be careful?
Right, be careful. I mean,
be careful. There,
I don't know, because I'm trying to think of like who like is in my Twitter roster, but a lot of people I wanted to sleep on the couch. You know, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I know. Or, you know, the back of a car. Either could work. I feel I'm young and I need to experience the world because everyone tells me I don't have enough of that. So I'm really looking for something stupid and impulsive to do, you know? Just seeking that out actively.
All right, go for it, man. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying, you know, be careful out there.
Yeah, well, I definitely will be careful out there. And again, go check out IOU an Interview. We'll be back on Saturday with an extra long podcast. Kind of a weird interview with someone who doesn't watch a ton of football, but is a really close friend of mine that wanted to be on the podcast and is really funny, I think. So wanted to bring them on, and then we'll do a second half with a more football-related guest and talk some off-season storylines. So be looking for that sometime Saturday or Sunday. And we will see you guys then. Check us out on Twitter at Endzone Pod. Follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. Follow Jonders on Twitter at JondersFPT. Also, go check out Forward Pass Thinking Audio Podcast. Jonders, thank you very much, man. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at Endzone Pod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.